Blog Talk Radio.
Generally, the Constitution is a charter of negative liberties. Says what the states can't do to you, says what the federal government can't do to you, but it doesn't say what the federal government or the state government must do on your behalf.
On a rough road, riding high.
You didn't build that.
Through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning, further from my home.
Shut up your mouth, Obama. Shut up your mouth, Obama.
Be young, like a new moon rising, fierce.
I've got a pen.
Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.
Yes, we can.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free.
I've got a pen.
I was born free.
And I've got a phone.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Like the grandest canyon, wild, like an untamed stallion. If you can't see my heart, you must be blind.
What difference at this point does it make?
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
I've got a pen.
Program. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of the cost. Now, remember, shipmates, freedom ain't cheap, but we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. All right, you want to be a part of the program today, you know the number, 646-716-7978, or you can join the captain's chat room. You do know that it takes me forever to even peek in there, and I will promise I will try again today to peek in there, but that chat room is mainly more for you guys. I get going, I get talking, I'm lost. I'm in Deep Space Nine, man. Well, you know it as well as I do. As long as there's one stinking liberal on planet friggin' Earth, it's a very, very, very busy news day. Well, let me tell you something, shipmates, today is absolutely no exception. There are lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of very evil people out there that are desperate to take away your freedom, so let's lift our jib and get this freedom ship underway. Okay, we are officially underway and headed out to sea. Bosun mate, shift colors. All right, now, before we get into the scuttlebutt of the day, we got a twofer here. First, Justine Peltier. You heard me talk about her all week. You know who she is. She's a 14-year-old girl who got a death sentence because her parents dared to get a second opinion, to do everything they could to make sure that their little daughter got the best medical attention that they could possibly afford and they could possibly find. I know, isn't that horrible? A parent actually taking care of their child. That's disgusting. These parents should be locked up and thrown away. I mean, this is ridiculous, these parents out there trying to do the best for their children. I mean, that's horrible. These people are creeps. Well, I promised I was going to make some phone calls yesterday. I want to organize and get a bunch of people down there at that hospital and demand for this little girl's immediate, unconditional release. There is no excuse why that girl's in a psych ward. There's no excuse why her parents get 1 hour, maybe once a week, to see their daughter. And when they do, she is progressively getting worse and worse. You can't see your daughter on holidays. You can't see her on her birthdays. You see your daughter whenever the hospital tells you you can see your daughter. You don't think that's tyranny? Mr. President, you're going to sit here and tell me again that there are no death panels? What the hell is this? Huh? Bureaucrats deciding what kind of care that you get. And you're going to sit here and tell me there's no death panels? Well, tell that to the Peltier family face to face, you little coward. Look them in the eyes and tell them there's no death panel. Look them in the eyes and tell them that there's no death panels, Mr. President. You won't because you're a coward. Well, I made some phone calls yesterday. I sent out some letters, and I'm going to keep doing this. I don't know. I'm not good at this stuff because, I can organize things. I've organized fundraisers for my band in high school. I've done all kinds of different stuff like that. But this is something different. I don't even know hardly really where to start, but I do have a Tea Party here in Long Island. CSA, Conservative Society for Action. Look them up. CSA-1776.org. I believe that's the website. Look them up. If not, type in Conservative Society for Action. But I'm going to get as many people as I can down there at that hospital. I want signs. I've got a mobile TV station in a truck. I can broadcast live over the air on streaming live over YouTube. I can do this over Blog Talk Radio. But I want to get people involved. There's no, you think for one second. Now, I know there's a lot of people that don't seem to want to care. And some calls that I made, people didn't seem to want to care. They were more interested in stupid little this and stupid little things like that. Their busy schedules and this and that and wham, wham, wham. But let me tell you something. When something like this happens to somebody, it happens to us all. And if you think for one second this can't happen to you or your mother or your daughter or your son or your brother or you, think again. And yeah, there are death panels, and this is one of them right here. This girl gets a death sentence because her parents argued with a resident and said, no, I'm going to go get a second opinion, which is not only your right, but it's your obligation. It's your duty as a parent to make sure that your daughter gets the best medical care that not only that you can afford, but you can find. That's absolutely insane. That's ridiculous. So let me tell you something there, Justine. I have not forgotten you. You understand me? I may be the only one in this country that hasn't forgotten you, which I don't think that's the case. There are people out there that haven't forgotten you. I haven't forgotten you, and I'm going to work my ass off to do everything I can. I know I'm just a little old captain over here. I don't have the power. I don't have the strings. I don't have the money to do it, but I'm going to do everything that I possibly can. Everything in my power, no matter how insignificant, no matter how small that power is, I'm going to give it my all. I have not forgotten you, little girl. I will never forget you. This is wrong, and you have been cheated, girl, and your family has been cheated. There's no excuse for that. If anybody needs to be put into a psych ward, one, it's that frickin' resident, and second, it's that goddamn judge and fiddle who won't allow the parents to see their kid. That's insane, man. That is wrong. That's tyranny. This is what tyranny brings. This is the product of Obamacare. You see now, Mr. King and Mr. McCain and Mr. McConnell and Mr. Graham, you see now why it was important to fight? You see now, it wasn't the right time to fight. Well, when is the right time to fight? When you see the fight, that's when it's time to fight. And this is exactly what's going to continue happening more and more and more. But nobody's going to give a damn until it happens to them. Well, you know what? I'm the kind of guy that I like to give a damn before it happens to me because I don't want it to happen to me. And if you're in that camp, well, then you climb on board. Let's get this going. Let's get people down there to that hospital and protest every single day until that girl has got her unconditional immediate release from that hospital back to her parents. Let her parents take that child to whatever doctor they want to take them to. It's their child, not yours. You understand that, government? It's not your child. It's Mr. and Mrs. Peltier's child. Second, Fort Hood 2. Good God. Obviously, it was not a Islamic terrorist act. This was an Iraqi war veteran suffering from mental health issues, which this right here, you know, if you know these guys are suffering from mental health issues, why are you not giving them the treatment that they need? Why do you just let them be? I find this absolutely disgusting. I kind of blame the Army more for this one. I kind of do. I got to put some blame on the Army for this one. Now, we got to start taking better care of our veterans, for Christ's sakes. You know what they got to do out there for you? And then when they come home, you just leave them out. Label them a mental case. Throw them in jail. He's a mental case. We don't have time for them anymore. Just remove them from society. After you destroyed them? Yeah, you destroyed them. You're going to have these young kids going out there and doing your dirty work, killing your enemies. You better be treating them right. And when they come home and they've got some problems, which a lot of these guys do, and naturally so would you. Take care of them. Take care of them. I have a problem with this one here. I got to put some onus on the Army on this one. This is wrong. This happens. This is unacceptable. Unfriggin' acceptable. Well, you know the story. You've seen the reports. He was he had a 45 caliber. He shot up a bunch of people. What his problem was, I don't know. When you've got mental issues, you don't even know what the hell's wrong with you. This kid, I guarantee you, probably had no idea what he was doing. Had no idea. We got to start taking care of our veterans a lot better than this. Absolutely disgusting. Looks like he was in the Puerto Rican Army National Guard. I think his name is Lopez or something, so he's obviously from Puerto Rico, which is basically the United States anyway. But in any event, this is a very horrible, terrible tragedy. And our hearts and prayers on this program go out to all the victims. There's 3 dead. It looks like 16 are seriously injured. But let me tell you something else where there's another victim. And I know there's going to be somebody out there that's going to disagree with me, but let me tell you something. His wife and his kids are also victims, especially the kids. They didn't know this was going to happen. They had nothing to do with this. They had nothing to do with this. And that kid now, he's got to get that word that daddy ain't coming home. Well, let me tell you something. I know what that word is. I know what that's like at 5 years old to get the word that daddy ain't never coming home again. And yeah, let me tell you, it sticks with you your entire life. Trust me on this one. Trust me on this one. It does stick with you your entire life. You can still function, but there are a lot of things that this kid now is going to be missing. A lot of things he's not going to be able to experience. A lot of things he's not going to be able to learn. Not a lot of things he's not going to be able to just be. He's not going to have that. That's been taken away from him. Now, it's not his fault, and it's not the wife's fault. Whose actual fault it is, God only knows. I mean, there could be thousands of reasons. But there's no excuse if you know for a fact that this guy's got mental issues and you're going to let him roam around the base and not give him any help. I find that absolutely repugnant, man. I just have a big problem with that. But at least we have a commander-in-chief who gets it. Oh, yeah, he understands the whole situation, and he's on top of it. At his little fundraisers. You didn't hear about this? Yeah, he's at a fundraiser. You know, he can't get away from those fundraisers. The Democrats are behind in the cash, and they're losing. And they've got to do everything they can to win this midterm election coming up in November. Is that really the most important thing that's going on here right now? Your goddamn reelection? Huh? The midterms? This is what's important? 91.5 million people are out of work. Justine Peltier, a 14-year-old girl, now 15, has got a death sentence because her parents dared to get a second opinion. We got mental issues on our veterans coming over here. Are we taking care of them? No. But we're out there giving those $10,000 a plate dinners for their fundraiser so the Democrats can have money to lie about Republicans. We can do that. I mean, I know that there's really nothing that the president can actually do in a situation like this. He's in Chicago. Fort Hood is in Texas. But You know what I mean? I mean, it just does. I mean, look, I think you can give up a fundraiser. And first of all, why is he even at these fundraisers? Look, if these politicians want to get money for their campaign, they need to do their own goddamn fundraisers. Why does the president have to do this crap? Mr. President, you've got too many other things to do here. You've got 91.5 million people out of work. You still have 50 million people who are uninsured. You've got $20 trillion fast and growing in debt, and you're worried about a fundraiser. What, are you kidding me? I mean, this is pathetic. This is absolutely just, I mean, God almighty. How could you do that, Mr. Obama? How do you do that? I couldn't do that. I couldn't. I just couldn't. I know there's nothing the president can do. But you know what? Going to a fundraiser, I mean, how can you be in a joyous occasion, laughing and joking and talking with your friends, when the largest military base we have in this country is blowing up? Benghazi blows up, so what do? Well, you go to Vegas for a fundraiser. Fort Hood's blowing up. What do? Well, you go to Chicago for a fundraiser. No problem. That's how you handle situations. Just go to a fundraiser and the problem will go away. I mean, I just don't like it. It just doesn't look right to me. I think he could have said, you know what, this is the wrong time to do a fundraiser. This is not the right time. I shouldn't even be here anyway. But there they are. According to the White House spokesman, John Earnest, which I don't find this man rather earnest, but he might be earnest and evil, but he's certainly not earnest in what we expect him to be, anybody in this administration. Obama is in the loop. Fundraisers. Well, that makes me feel comfortable. He's in the loop. He's getting updates. Twitter feeds. I mean, Obama will be in Chicago for 4.5 hours in the events of largely closed of the media, with radio and television reporters banned from attendance. So nobody can have a record of the lies that he tells in these fundraisers. Don't you find that a little? I find it a lot, not a little. Only one print reporter will be allowed to provide press pool notes, and I wonder who that person is. I'm sure they've been hand-picked, and the talking points have already been predetermined. Here you are. Just go sit down, enjoy your meal, and when it's over, turn this in to your little editor and print it up. And that's what it is. Don't give me this crap. One reporter. God forbid if you found out what the president actually said. We don't want to catch him lying. We don't want to do that. That would be embarrassing. This man's been lying since he put his hand on that Bible and took that oath. Good God. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, Obama was originally slated to attend a private dinner for three, between two fundraisers with Obama's water and food carted in exclusively for him. He needs to have special water and special food carted in for him. The water in Chicago? Is it dirty? Where's the EPA? How come they haven't cleaned it up yet? Two other members of the dinner will be Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Oh, God, that guy irritates me. Godfather. Shut up. That guy's a punk. He's a punk. He's a pimp. I can't stand that guy. He's a creep, just like his brother. That whole damn family, I bet, are creeps. And former Obama top advisor David Axelrod. First event took place at 4:45 p.m. Central Time with tickets running $32,400 per person. Wow. Wonder what the dinner was. Tofu salad? Obama is slated to attend another Democratic National Committee fundraiser tonight with 55 members of the audience and shelling out $10,000 per plate. We got a couple of tweets here now. This is Nidra Pickler. More of these damn tweets. I guess she's the single reporter that was allowed in the fundraiser. And here she tweets, now in Obama motorcade heading to second DNC fundraiser in Lincoln Park with about 55 donors who paid up to $10K. Obama spoke from Chicago. This is the second one now. This was at 8:03 p.m. Obama spoke from Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Oh, interrupted his little meal. Yeah, I feel sorry for you. Obama spoke from Chicago Cut Steakhouse in same room where he just met with about 25 DNC donors who paid up to $32,400. Well, that's an important tweet. But he did give a little speech. Oh, yeah, we're heartbroken that something like this might have happened again. And I don't want to comment on the facts until we know exactly what happened. No, he's never commented on facts before he knew what happened. He's never done that before. That's never stopped him. But just for now, I would hope that everyone across the country keep their families afforded, blah, blah. I'm not going to read any more of this guy. He makes me sick to my stomach right now. This guy just irritates me right now. This is wrong. You don't have time for fundraisers, Mr. Obama. You got work to do. You got 91.5 million people out of work. We don't even know what the hell happened to you with Benghazi. What did happen to you? Which we're going to get into Benghazi here in a little bit. That's the scuttlebutt of the day. And I got some questions. We got a tape here. We're going to play it. I know it's a little long, but that's all right. You knew for a fact you weren't going to get any answers from these people. I mean, come on. You really thought you were going to find out the answers? You really thought you were going to get the truth? You did? Wow. Look, when something like this happens, you can give up a fundraiser. You don't need to be there. You've got work to do, Mr. President. You need to be in the Oval Office. Do you even know where the hell it is? Have you seen it? I know you've been there a couple of times to take a couple of pictures in your mom jeans talking to Putin. Got in there long enough to put your feet out on the desk, put a phone to your ear, and make it look like you're actually doing something when you're not. Those are phony photographs. Those are staged. Please, come on. What are you, a model? Is that what you're doing? You're modeling? I mean, this is, what the hell? You don't do that. You got something like this, a tragedy like this at your largest military base, you don't go on a fundraiser. I don't care if it's in your hometown. I don't care what it is. I don't care how many millions of dollars the Democratic Party is in the soup. This isn't about elections, you jerk. This isn't about fundraisers. This isn't about the midterms. This isn't about your party. This is about what is happening to America. We are leaving our veterans alone. They're coming home. They've got problems, physical problems, mental problems. And you go on a goddamn fundraiser. I mean, this is pathetic. Don't you get embarrassed? Do you even know what you're doing, Mr. Obama? Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea of how classless you are? Do you? Any clue? Any indication, has anybody in your administration come up to you and say, you know what, Mr. President, by doing something like this, that's classless. Don't do it, please. No, of course not. All right, let's get into the scuttlebutt of the day. First of all, you knew we were not going to get any truth from these Benghazi hearings. This Michael Morell, the acting CIA director, lying through his freaking teeth, like they all do, and there's still no accountability. Now, what did we gain from this hearing yesterday? Anything? Did we get anything out of this? Well, we did a little bit. We got confirmation of some stuff that we already knew. So, again, what did we really gain? We already know the truth. We already know what happened. We just need to hear them tell the truth. That's all we're asking for. You understand that, Obama administration? We just want you to admit the truth. Stop lying to the American people. Which, by the way, we're going to close the show out today with a letter. a very important letter, a very poignant letter. I didn't write it. I wish I did. But we're going to get to that in the closeout of this show. Let's get going here. I know I digress like crazy, but that's all right. We got a lot to cover. Now, we're going to play this clip here now. I know it's about 8 minutes or so, but that's all right. This is a Michelle Bachmann. Now, whether you like her or not, the girl is pretty smart. She is one of my girls. She's not afraid. She's not afraid of these people, and this is why I like her. She's not afraid to stand up to these people and ask them questions. She doesn't back down. That's what I like about conservative women. They got a bigger set of balls than most of the men. And that's true. They do. That's pathetic. Women are not supposed to have testicles. Men are supposed to have testicles. You understand how that works, Mr. Boehner? You see, men have penises. Women have vaginas. That's how it works. That's how nature designed the human being. You understand, Mr. Boehner? Or should we say Mrs. Boehner? Or Ms. I forgot. Remember that crap in the 70s that you couldn't be Miss or Mrs., you had to be Ms.? Oh, God. I mean, what difference does it make? I mean, really? Are you really going to throw... Yes, they do. They throw fits over the most insignificant things that they can. Why? Because they don't want to face the actual real issues. Liberals have been liberals. They've been like this since the beginning of time. And it's time to put an end to them. Enough is enough. America, stop them. When you got somebody libbing out on you, don't be afraid of them. They're cowards. They're punks. They're bullies. Stand up to them. Stand up to them. Say, oh, yeah, you're going to give me this? Okay, back it up or shut it up, because I'm sick and tired of listening to your lies. They can never back it up. They don't have any proof. We deal in facts and evidence. They deal in I don't know what. I don't know what the word is. As long as it goes against whatever the person on the right says, that's all that matters, regardless of facts or evidence or anything else, especially the truth. Don't put the truth in there. We can't let the truth interfere with our reality now. That would be devastating. But this clip does indeed point out and prove once again that this administration most definitely did lie. We know they lied. They know they lied. What I'd like to know is why nobody is being held accountable. We'll never see anybody held accountable for this unless the American people demand it. Yeah, we demand it on these blog talk radio programs. We demand it on the regular radio programs. But where do we demand? Why are we in Washington right now demanding that we get these answers? Well, it takes up time. I got a busy schedule. Kim Kardashian's on. I got a whole box full of Cheetos over here, man. 24 bags. It's a big, huge box. And the couch, I mean, it's so comfortable. Got a blanket. But I was going to cut this clip up. I was going to cut it up and just play bits and pieces of it. But, you know, you're going to miss the context of it. I want you to listen to the whole thing. And this is the only one of all the clips that I listened to that were worthy of really playing. And it's sad, too, because, I mean, there could be a lot more with this, but at least I appreciate Michelle Bachmann for not backing down and not giving in. I know this is it's still kind of weak, but maybe we can start getting some people that are going to get a little bit more irate, and that is what is going to take to change this stuff. Again, you've heard me talk about the difference between angry and frustration. Well, we are frustrated, but we need to let the people know we're not angry. Don't be afraid to think that somebody's going to think that you're angry. They're idiots. If they think you're angry, they're not listening. They're not paying attention. Don't be afraid to back down, and don't be afraid to raise your voice, and don't be afraid to cuss either. Let them know how you really feel. Speak from the heart. Okay? When you give out this civil conversation, you're not speaking from the heart. You're speaking from your ass. Do not ever speak from your ass. Your ass can only fart. It can't speak. Speak from your heart. All right, let's play this clip. It's about 8 minutes. And when we come back, I've got a set of my own questions that I want answered. And I do want these answers. And these are questions that need to be answered. And there's a lot more, too. I only put 10 on today. Because if I didn't, my God, there's not enough time left in this century to answer or to ask all the questions. But I have 10 of my questions that I feel are important that need to be answered. So turn the volume up. Listen to this. If you got to get up and go to the bathroom, you got to go out and feed the dog, whatever. Turn it up so you don't miss anything. This is Michelle Bachman from yesterday. Go ahead and play this card.
Thank you, Mr. Morrell. On September 11th, we know that there's a fair amount of activity that was going on at the compound that day in Benghazi. Chris Stevens was active that day. The Turkish ambassador had come to visit Ambassador Stevens at the compound that day. We know from eyewitness testimony on the ground contemporaneous in time from the RSO who was there that the Turkish ambassador, when he was there and all through the day, there were no sightings, no indication in any way of any gathering of any protesters around the compound around Benghazi. There was closed circuit television. There was the February 17th Brigade. There were people there offering security. No one at any time prior to the attack gave any indication that there was a protest going on at the compound. The RSO himself said there was nothing going on at the compound. The chief of station in Tripoli had no indication of any protest going on. The political officers had no indication of anything going on. The GRS officers coming from the annex over, no one, anyone involved in this situation, no one had any indication of a protest going on. And yet, the Obama administration allowed its spokesman for the first time in the first public disclosure, five times on the Sunday morning news, made a false narrative that a YouTube video was the reason that explained that there were protesters that we now know are apparitions, never existed, were there. This is a false narrative. That's why this is not a small issue. This is a big issue, Mr. Morrell, because we have emails in front of us, cables in front of us that don't lie. That's not a conspiracy. And the emails and the cables are very clear about what we knew and when we knew it. We know that while the attack was going on, that there was already from the State Department at 4:05 p.m. an alert that was put out from the State Department that the compound was under attack. The second was at 6:08 p.m. that Ansar al-Sharia, an al-Qaeda-linked terrorist group operating in Libya, claimed credit for the attack. We also know that a cable that was sent on September 12th by CIA station chief in Libya reported eyewitnesses confirmed the participation of Islamic militants and made clear that U.S. facilities in Benghazi had come under attack. Even your first draft from the CIA prepared, distributed internally, showed, this is 11:15 a.m., we have date stamps on it, that the CIA and the U.S. government knew that Islamic extremists with ties to al-Qaeda participated in the attack. All of that we knew. What changed is when the talking points prepared again by your office, when those talking points intersected with the White House and those organizations within the White House included senior State Department officials, senior national security officials, all of those that you talked to us about, Robert Cordillo, Alan, Matt, Jake, Mark, Lisa, Ben, all of these, the only change that happened were senior White House officials. And we know from the emails, particularly from Victoria Nuland, that has been referenced by my colleagues, from the date stamp time, again, at 9:24 p.m., Ms. Nuland wrote that the problem remains. Her superiors were unhappy The changes that were made did not resolve all my issues or those of my building leadership. We also know Ben Rhodes from the National Security Foreign Policy further advised the group, the issues will be resolved in a meeting of top administration officials the following morning at the White House. At the White House, Saturday, before Ms. Rice went on the Sunday morning show. So they were resolved all right. They were resolved in the favor of the White House. And what's really odd here is that the false narrative that was given on Sunday morning on the Sunday morning shows somehow strangely added up with the view of the White House 6 weeks before the presidential election that Al-Qaeda was nearly defeated and the global war on terror was over. Everyone on this committee knows that wasn't true, that Al-Qaeda wasn't defeated. Everyone on this committee, both sides of the aisle, knows that the global war on terror was not over. That was the narrative of the White House in the run-up to the presidential election. How weird that that ultimately was reflected in the talking points against all knowledge from people on the ground and knowledge this committee had. That's why we're upset, because the American people, from my perspective, were intentionally misled by this administration as to what happened in Benghazi.
Chairman, can I respond? I'd make 2 points, ma'am. Number one, the narrative that the attack evolved spontaneously from a protest was a narrative that intelligence community analysts believed, not just analysts, intelligence community analysts. That turned out to be incorrect, but that is what they believed at the time. So there is no politics there whatsoever. That's point number one. Point number two is, let me actually give you the facts of what the State Department changed in those talking points and what the White House changed. The White House changed three things. The first thing the White House changed was to add Cairo in front of the word embassy for the sake of clarity. The second thing the White House changed was to rearrange a couple of sentences, purely stylistic. The third thing the White House changed was to change the word consulate to diplomatic post for accuracy. Those were the only changes the White House made. The changes the State Department made, two, just two. They, too, wanted to change the word consulate to diplomatic post for exactly the same reason. The second change the State Department made was to remove the entire bullet on Ansar al-Sharia, because State Department said it was premature to single out a specific group, and the CIA agreed because the only unclassified evidence we had at the time was Ansar al-Sharia's public statement, which they then retracted. So the State Department and the White House made five changes only, all of them, in my view, fairly insignificant.
Mr. Morrell, they didn't have to change because you made the changes for them.
The changes.
That's the point. That's why you're in front of this committee today. You made significant substantive changes for the White House. Whether it was on behalf, we don't know. But we know you are the one who made those changes.
Ma'am, if you look at the record, what you will see is the changes I made were fully consistent with what our analysts believed at the time, period.
The analysts that were part of the bureaucracy, not the individuals who are on the ground who had eyewitness testimony and who as early as September 12th had sent you a cable that it was not a protest, that it was in fact an attack. Those were intentionally ignored.
So, ma'am, do you believe that we should have accepted the chief of station's view without question that it was a protest?
I believe that the totality of the information was obfuscated and that there was an intentional misleading of the public.
Because if you believe that we should have accepted his explanation of what happened, then you also need to accept his view that it could have been the video that motivated the individuals to attack the diplomatic facility that night.
We spoke with him yesterday behind closed doors. He was adamant from the very beginning that this was not a spontaneous protest. We heard from him directly yesterday that at no time did he believe it was based upon the video. It isn't just him. It's the RSO. It's the chief of base. It's those who came from the annex. It is the political officers. All of them agreed. You take that versus some press reports and one signal versus the weight and balance aren't even equal. It isn't even equal. All, the evidence overwhelmingly pointed to an attack that was Al-Qaeda or jihadist related.
It wasn't just one piece of SIGINT, ma'am. There was also reporting from the station.
More than one SIGINT?
There was also.
That wasn't our understanding.
There was also reporting from the CIA station that was a that there was a protest, as well as from the Department
SIGINT?
Of Defense. There was a HUMINT piece, there was SIGINT, and there was HUMINT from the Department of Defense. There was multiple intelligence pieces.
All right, that's it. Well, look. We didn't really get any new information that we didn't already know. But I do appreciate Michelle Bachmann not backing down and telling this guy, look, you're lying. You know you're lying. We know you're lying. We've got the proof that you're lying. Did he back down? Did he admit that he lied? No. That's what we're going to get. We're going to get nowhere. No more hearings. Anytime we're going to bring any more of these people up to ask him any questions, they need to be in front of a grand jury. Enough is enough. I'm sick and tired of these goddamn hearings. Yeah, okay, they're important. They need to be done, but we're not going to get anywhere. If there's no action after the hearing, what the hell is the point? Why are we wasting our time with this? And Ms. Bachmann, I do appreciate you not backing down. And you were right. I mean, this guy comes out and, well, the intelligence community analysts believed. See, now that's an easy way to say, to get away with lying. Well, that's what we believed. Oh, yep, that's just what we believed at the time. Anybody can say anything like that. Well, it's what I believed at the time. But we found out that Ms. Bachmann called him on it and said, no. Those analysts were part of the bureaucracy, meaning they were getting their beliefs, their opinions, their intel from the White House. And don't think for one second that they weren't. Where else would it come from? Well, maybe possibly in the State Department, but it still comes from the White House. At one point, it starts at the White House. Whether that was Valerie Goebbels who did this or whether it was the president himself, who knows? But this stuff came from the White House. And everybody's protecting the White House. Why? What does this president have that people are so afraid of? I know he's got George Soros. He's rich, but what does that mean? Why are people so afraid of this guy? I don't get it unless they share his exact view. And that's what I think it is. That's scary. When you have that many people sharing the exact same view, that's scary. That's called tyranny. You understand how that is? That's tyranny, and that's what it is, and that's what it's brought. And here we are. Stylistic changes, he says now. Really? Well, we changed it from a consulate to diplomatic facility. Well, we all know why they did that, because of that weapons deal that went bad. That's what caused Benghazi. It was a bad weapons deal. Exactly what happened? Well, we don't know. We've heard all different kinds of stories, that they sold the weapons, but America wanted to get the weapons back. And they said no. Or they wanted to sell the weapons. And then they said, no, we're not going to sell them to you. And the Syrian rebels said, no, we want them. Exactly what really happened, we don't know. We don't really know. And that's the problem. We're only left to speculate. Which, what do you get when you speculate? Well, you get a whole bunch of theories. But no facts. I want facts. I don't want any more hearings. I don't want to listen to any more theories. I want the facts. My God. What's wrong with a grand jury? I know if I commit a crime, especially something as heinous as what went on with Benghazi, or even close to what happened with Fast and Furious, or IRS, or the stimulus packages, or Obamacare, or executive orders, any of this crap, yeah, you damn Skippy, I'd be in front of a grand jury. But why can't we do that with the president? What are we afraid of with this guy? Just because he's black? Well, he's half white, too. What the hell are we afraid of? I'm not afraid of this guy, and I'm not afraid of this entire administration. I'm not afraid of any of them, and I don't mind. And if I was to meet these people, I wouldn't have a problem talking to this guy right to his face. I'd call the president a liar right to his face. I wouldn't be afraid of doing that. He is. He's been lying to me since he put his hand on that Bible and took that oath. So why can't I call him on it? Well, I can. Ain't going to do any good. He's not going to give a damn. My God. Thank God for at least somebody in Congress. We do have, well, she's getting out now. What she did, I don't know, some kind of campaign mismanagement of her money and did this and that. And, of course, liberals found out about it. Of course, they're always looking at all Republicans. They never look at themselves. How many liberals violate campaign rules? Every damn one of them. That's how they get elected. They violate voting laws. And that's how they get elected. But they can do that. They're Democrats because they believe in peace and love. And Republicans are haters. All right, enough of that. Now, yeah, though that clip was good and it asked some good questions and pointed out actually that he lied and proved that he did lie and the administration did lie. But these are questions that I don't understand why no one's asking these questions. We've all heard the questions a couple of times, but we've never once got an answer. These are the questions now that we need answers to. I want to see somebody in Congress hold somebody's feet to the goddamn fire and don't let them up until they answer the question. You want to have a real hearing? Then you don't let them leave until they answer the question truthfully and honestly. And if they don't, well, then you send them to jail. It's called being in contempt. You know, like the attorney general's in contempt, whatever that means. Question number one. Who gave the stand-down order? Not once, but twice. Who gave that stand-down order? I want to know who gave that stand-down order. That's question number one. The very first question. Who gave the stand-down order? Why is that so difficult to say? Well, why do you think? Why do you think they don't want to answer that question? Mr. President, I do believe it was you. And if it wasn't, why wasn't it you? Don't you think that the president in this case should be the only one giving a stand-down order? And since you did give the stand-down order, Mr. President, why did you give the stand-down order? That's question 1A. Why was the stand-down order given? Who gave it, and why was it given? Why do we not have that answer? I'll never know. Well, I do know. But we're never going to hear it from them. Until we get a responsible Congress, which this is a job for us, guys. We've got to demand our leaders do the things that we want them to do. That's why we put them in office. If we're just going to vote for them and leave them alone and let them run things on their own and not pay attention to them, not take a look at them, not find out what they're actually doing, that's our fault. That's our bad, and we deserve everything that they give us. Well, I'm one of those that I don't do that. I can't do that anymore. I can't let these people just run all over me anymore. Not without standing up, pitching a bitch, and starting a fight. And no, I don't mean physical fight. I mean fight. We must accept, I mean, we would never accept this administration just giving us an answer. Prove it. Okay, fine, that's a great answer. Great answer. Yay, it's beautiful. Now back it up. Prove it. Question one, who gave the stand-down order and why? That question needs to be answered. Question number two. How did this administration know that there wasn't going to be enough time? How would they know that? Well, I think you and I know that. We're smart. We know. But how did the administration know that there wasn't enough time? Did we get anybody ask those questions yesterday? No. Nope. Can't do that. Why? Why was security sent home? Why did they get rid of the security? Red Cross leaves, British leave, our security leaves, and our ambassador is there. Question four. Why was the ambassador even there to begin with? Was it over that 400 surface-to-air missile weapons deal? Is that what it was about? Well, we don't know. We want to know. We need to know. But unless we get a responsible Congress that holds these people's feet to the fire, we are never going to know. Why was the ambassador over there? What the hell was he doing over there? What was his point? Why was he there? You're going to have an ambassador in one of the most dangerous zones on planet Earth, and you're going to get rid of all your security after the Red Cross and the British leave. You tell me, does that make sense to you? As an ambassador, first of all, wouldn't you feel a little, I don't know, frightened that all your security left and went back home? If I was the ambassador, I'd say, oh, you want me to go there? Well, you're going to have to bump up a whole lot of security. Yeah, we do know he did ask for more security, but he didn't get it. Did he? Did he, Ms. Clinton? He didn't get that security, did he? Well, it was the Republicans who cut the funding for it. No, it wasn't the Republicans who cut the funding for it. That money comes out of the State Department, Ms. Clinton. The Republicans had nothing to do with that. Don't. Sorry, sweetheart. But, you know, Americans are a lot smarter than you think we are. That money comes out of the State Department. That money that the Republicans cut had nothing to do with security, in our consulates, especially in a place in Benghazi where it's one of the most dangerous zones on planet Earth. Come on. Again, anything to blame the Republicans. Can't blame me. I'm the one who actually did it, but I can't take responsibility for it, so I'm just going to blame Republicans. That's easy. They can do it. The American people will buy it because everybody knows Republicans are haters and racists, misogynists. We know what kind of people they are. They like freedom. Question five. Why was there an arms deal with the Syrian rebels in the first goddamn place? We know there was an arms deal. I'm sorry. That's not a question anymore. We know that for a fact, that there was an arms deal there. There was an arms deal. That has been reported several times. That has been confirmed several times. Did they ask any questions about that? I didn't hear them. I didn't hear any questions about that. Maybe I missed it. I could be wrong. But I didn't hear anybody ask any of the questions of why the ambassador was there. Why were we doing weapons deals with the Syrian rebels? I didn't hear any of those questions. None. And that's pathetic. Why, Congress, you didn't ask that, I don't know. Are you afraid? You afraid to do your job? If you're afraid to do your job, give up your job. You don't deserve it. Question six is actually, we've already talked about that. I want to know, did that deal go bad? What happened with that deal? Why did it go bad? What happened with that arms deal? Not only why was there an arms deal, but what happened with that arms deal? What made it go bad? What made these people attack our embassy? And I'm going to call it an embassy. It was an embassy. You can pick any stupid name you want to. The hell difference does it make? These people pick different kinds of names for everything anyway. But why was there an arms deal, and what happened? What made it go bad? Question number seven. How this administration, the president, Hillary Clinton, how they could look the parents of those murdered brothers in the eyes when their casket is just mere feet away and lie to them like that? Blaming a video? How they could do that, look them right in the eye, blatantly lie. They knew goddamn good and well that this had nothing to do with a video. Absolutely nothing to do with a video. I knew it had nothing to do with a video when I first heard this story. And I heard it over the airways very, very soon after it happened. There was no mention and no video because there was no video. And how that Hillary Clinton, that creep of all creeps, that woman is just absolutely sheer evil. And I'm not afraid to call her evil. And if she was standing right before me right now, I would call her evil right to her fat face. How you could look those parents in the eyes and say, we're going to get that guy. We're going to prosecute him. We're going to punish him for making a video that killed your son when it was you, Ms. Clinton, who killed that man's son. Yeah, you, Ms. Clinton. You and the president. Doing arms deals with Syrian rebels. Then the deal goes bad. That was you that killed those men, Ms. Clinton. That was you. You need to be punished. You need to be prosecuted. Question number 8. Why the hell did it take 2 goddamn weeks to send any American personnel to the scene? And no, CNN doesn't count. Why did it take 2 weeks to send any American personnel to the scene? Why? Huh? Was it too hot? It was too dangerous. Too dangerous. You didn't want. It was just too dangerous. And it was taco night. And Kim Kardashian was on. And it was, you know, too many bullets flying and fire and bombs. And we just, it was just too scary. Is that what happened? Is that why it took 2 weeks to send any American personnel to the scene? What the hell's the matter with you? Question number 9. Why has this administration not, and I do repeat, not sought out after the perpetrators like they promised? They went after that video man. They went after that filmmaker. They went after him right away, didn't they? How about the guys that actually did the killing? You gone after them? No. Didn't you promise us, Mr. President, you were going to do everything in your power to get those, to bring those people to justice? Huh? Where the hell's the freaking justice? Where is it? Huh? Where'd it go? Is it in your pocket? Could you take it out, please? We'd like to see the justice on this. Sometime today? Why did this administration not go after those perpetrators? They still have it, and they never will. They're his friends. He's not going to kill his friends. Question number 10. This will be real telling if we ever find out what happened. Where was the president during this attack? And how actually engaged was he? Who was calling the shots? Was it Valerie Goebbels? Or was it Hillary Clinton? Who was it? Who was actually calling the shots, Mr. President, and where were you? Did you indeed go upstairs to eat dinner with the fam? Is that what you did, then go to bed because you had a long flight the next day? Is that what you did? Were you engaged at all? Where were you, Mr. President? These are 10 questions that should have been asked yesterday. These are 10 questions that should be asked. People need to be held there. The president needs to be up in a hearing. I don't know why we can't question the president. Why Congress can't sit the president down and question the president on this stuff. I don't know why we can't. I don't see anything in the Constitution that says we can't. I've read it again. I mean, maybe it is. Maybe I missed it. I don't know. But I don't see anything in here that says that Congress cannot question the president. Put him in the hot seat. Question him. Why can't Congress do that? Matter of fact, I think that's something that Congress needs to do. Doesn't have to be every day, doesn't have to be every week, every month, maybe once a year, maybe every 6 months. But periodically, I think Congress needs to sit down with the president and question him. What are you doing in your administration? And if you don't give us the right answer, well, we're gonna bring some impeachment charges on you because we want a responsible government. That's all we're asking for. That's all the Tea Party. That's only, you don't have to like the Tea Party. You can believe all the rumors and all the crap you want to about them. But until you actually go to them and be involved and listen to what they're actually asking, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, so shut up. But anybody on the right, the only thing that we're asking for, and we're not asking for very much, the only thing that we're really asking for is accountability in our government. We want a responsible government. We're not asking for anti-government. We're not anti-government. We are responsible government. That's what we're for. I'm sick and tired of people saying that people on the right, well, they're always against, they're never for anything. No, that's the left. That's not the right. The party of no. Yeah. Because everything that comes out of the frickin' liberals' mouth is bad, is wrong. So, yeah, no. No, 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 no. Oh, by the way, did I happen to mention no? No. That's right. No. There's nothing wrong with saying no. If it's bad, if it's wrong, yes, that is your obligation. That is your duty to say no. It's not your duty. It's not your obligation to surrender as quickly as you can, Mr. Boehner, Mr. McConnell, Mr. King, Mr. McCain, Mr. Graham. There's a whole lot more of you. Mr. Issa, you broke my heart. What the hell did you do, Issa? Hmm? I defended you. I supported you. I stuck up for you. And you go ahead and you stab me in the back? I want an explanation from you. I want an explanation from you, Mr. Issa. Why did you do that? Huh? Oh, you don't know what you did. Really? Well, that's even another reason why I don't like you anymore. You broke my heart. All of these guys are breaking my heart. And I'm sick and tired of them. Mr. Gowdy, God damn you. Don't do this to me. You're the only one in Congress right now that I actually trust. There's a couple of them that I kind of trust, but you're the only one that I actually do trust. Don't screw me. Please, I'm begging you. Mr. Gowdy, don't. The country cannot afford any more screwing. All right. We've got a lot to cover here today. Let's get my treasure chest open and see if we can plunder any booty today. All right, right off the top. Now, this one, I really hope something, I really hope this pans out. I really hope we can get some kind of, this is about the Constitutional Convention. Well, now the Constitutional Convention, you've heard about it. Well, it's starting to pick up steam. And in Article 5, I do believe it's Article 5. Let me double-ass check here. It does give the states an opportunity. There's two ways that you can get amendments, Congress or the states. The Congress, let me just read the whole thing so everybody understands. See, we're about truth here. Yeah, we do give a lot of opinions, but we back it up with the facts and we back it up with the truth. And if it means that we got to take an extra couple of minutes, then that's what it means. As long as we get it right. That's the only thing that matters. The Congress, whenever two-thirds of both houses shall deem it necessary, which is way past necessary, shall propose amendments to the Constitution or on the application of the legislatures of two-thirds of the several states, shall call a convention for proposing amendments which, in either case, shall be valid to all intents and purposes as part of the Constitution when ratified by the legislatures of three-fourths of the several states or by conventions in three-fourths thereof, as the one or the other mode of ratification may be proposed by Congress, provided that no amendment which may be made prior to the year 1808 shall be in manner affect the first and fourth clauses in the ninth section of blah, 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 blah. I didn't mean blah, 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 blah in the Constitution. I meant the rest of the stuff just has nothing to do with what we're talking about. The states have the right to form a constitutional convention, at least get it going. Well, that's starting to pick up speed now, and I hope we can do it, and it's over a balanced budget. Now, who can say here that that is racist, like the left has said? How can you possibly think that a balanced budget is racist? The last time I heard, I cannot connect the dots on that one. I don't know how it is. So are you trying to say that if you have an imbalanced budget, that's good for people that aren't white? Because we all know that only racism comes from white people. White people are the only people that can be racist. I mean, I don't get the connection here. I don't see how that is. But I guess you got to be a Democrat to understand this crap, which I will never be. So it looks like I'm never going to understand it. But hopefully we can get this constitutional convention and we can get a balanced budget. That will at least put us on somewhat of a right track. Why shouldn't you have a balanced budget? Look, if you need to go over the budget for reasons, I don't think most people are going to have a problem with it. If there's a legitimate reason why we go over budget, if there's a legitimate reason and the country needs it and it's going to benefit the entire country, not just one part of the country, but the entire country as a whole, I don't think most people are going to have a problem with it, as long as you pay it back and as long as you don't keep at it. But see, that's the problem. You give a politician an inch, they're going to take the entire freaking league. And they're going to take more and more and more and more and more. They're never going to stop until you stop them and you force them to stop. And even then, it's still questionable because we have a constitution that says we're free, but as of late, doesn't seem to be the case. They're not supposed to infringe on our Second Amendment, but have they? Oh, goddamn right they have. And they continue to do so. You're a citizen. You're not supposed to have a gun. That's for the government. That's for the law enforcement. They don't want you shooting back at them. They want to shoot you. You understand how this works? Watchdog, the EPA is conducting human tests. I mean, these people are out of their friggin' mind. You can't run a goddamn old pickup truck because it destroys the environment. You can't use a light bulb because it kills polar bears. But you can expose people and lie to them. Expose these people with very, and then lie to them. This is the EPA. First of all, I'd like to know, why are they conducting these experiments on human beings in the first friggin' place? And secondly, why as a human being would you allow somebody to conduct these experiments? You think you better trust the government to conduct experiments on exposing you to chemicals? What's the matter with you? What the hell's the matter with you? Would you do that? I wouldn't do that. There's no way in hell. God only knows what kind of chemicals this government would expose to you. And why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? Why, EPA? Look, this EPA has to go, period. Period, period, period. If we get a responsible president, could you please get rid of the EPA? Please. Congress, if you're responsible, please act like you're responsible. And stop letting the EPA do your job. That's your job. Government agencies don't make policy. Congress makes policy, period. Oh, God. Speaking of EPA, it looks like NASCAR is caving into the EPA. Shame on you, NASCAR. I mean it. Shame on you. They want to lower the horsepower. Well, it's just one step. Well, they're going to try to put electric cars on there. We're going to be racing. I mean, why don't you just put these drivers in wheelchairs, bring them into a nursing home, and let them race the old folks around the goddamn nursing home? Look, it's cars. It uses gas. I'm sorry, we're not destroying the planet. Yeah, we should work on new fossil our new fuels that aren't fossil fuels. Nobody has a problem with that. Nobody. I don't know anybody who has a problem with that. But at what cost? That's the problem that I have. Now, if you can make an electric car that can go 200 miles an hour, okay, fine, I'll watch it. I don't give a damn. I like watching racing. I like NASCAR. I like watching car races. I like watching the speed. But you knew this a long time ago. I knew this a long time ago. It's only a matter of time. And what they're going to do, because liberals only know one thing, there's only one solution for a liberal when there's a problem: tax it. They hate money. If it's Republican money, they hate it. But if it's their money, they love it. But they don't spend their money. They spend your money. Why would they spend their money? Anytime you got a problem with something, well, tax it. Well, that's what they're going to do with NASCAR. They're going to be taxing the drivers. They're going to be putting an extra tax on the ticket when you go to the race. Now, how the hell does that solve if there really truly is global warming? Let's just imagine for a moment that this hoax is actually real, that there is man-made global warming and the planet's melting, all the polar bears are dying, the ice caps are melted. How is money going to solve that? How is a tax going to solve that problem? Explain that to me. Well, you can't. Why? Well, because money doesn't solve every problem. Brains solves problems, not money. Brains. And lastly, Nancy Pelosi's latest act of stupidity. Oh, my God. Did you hear that yesterday? If you didn't, well, if we got enough time today, we'll play it. If not, whatever. Maybe we'll play it tomorrow. But this woman is, I mean, this woman, she has to be taken out of Congress. We can no longer have these people that are mentally ill in Congress. I'm sorry, but when you say stupid things like this, not once, not twice, but every time you open your fat yap, you've got a problem. San Francisco, please, do the country a favor and vote for somebody else other than her. Can you do that? Please. I'm begging you. You got a beautiful city, and it is. There's a lot to offer in San Francisco. There's a lot of freaks in San Francisco, but give me a city that doesn't have freaks. Give me one place on planet Earth that doesn't have freaks. There isn't any. But that's not an excuse. You can be the biggest freak as you want to, but you cannot be irresponsible and continue voting for Nancy Pelosi. That is irresponsible, that is dangerous, that is reckless. We can't afford it anymore. San Francisco, please wake up. And then to close out the show, we're going to follow that Nancy Pelosi stupidity by a very poignant letter to the president. Hopefully I have enough time today. And if I got to cut out a story to get into this and tell you and read this letter, I'm going to do it because this is an important letter. Only thing, you know what I love about certain letters is when they point out things that are, you know it. They're talking exactly like you talk. They're coming up with the things that you know that you're saying. So it's almost like reading what you have been saying, what you have read. It's a very poignant letter, and we're going to read it. The president won't read it because he doesn't care. He's too busy in fundraisers. He doesn't have time to do his job. He doesn't have time to care for the American people. So let's get into this constitutional convention here now. Momentum is building behind what would be an unprecedented effort to amend the United States Constitution. At issue is what's known as constitutional convention, a scenario tucked into Article 5. Yeah, I was right, Article 5, which I already read it. Blah, 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 blah. Get to the meat of this story, God damn it. The first, which has been used for all 27 amendments today. Yeah, yeah, we know that. Founding fathers, though. Yes, we all know this. Get to the meat. You know, when you guys put this stuff into my chest here, can you scrape out, before you put it in here, scrape out all the crap? Just give me the meat. I want the meat. I want the meat. I want the meat. The idea has gained popularity among constitutional scholars in recent years, but got a big boost last week when Michigan lawmakers endorsed it. Well, good for Michigan. There might be hope for that state yet. Michigan matters because some counts it was the 34th state to do so. That makes 2/3. Well, there's some of these states had asked for a constitutional convention in the 70s and backed out of it. So here's the problem. They're going back and forth on who really applied for a constitutional convention, who backed out of it, what it is. Well, let's do this. Let's get all the states together and just apply for it right away and do it now. Okay? Do it. If it means you got to do it again and reapply, then just reapply and do it. Okay? This constitutional convention is very important. I don't like the fact that we have to go over here and start changing every damn amendment in this constitution. But we have to do some things. We've got to do some things here. This Constitution, first of all, isn't being followed. We shouldn't have to do any of this crap if we would just simply follow the Constitution. That's all we have to do. You should expect common sense, but again, you can't put common sense in words. You just have to have it. So we got to go over here, and we got to put it in black and white that the government must have a balanced budget, which means there's going to be exceptions to that rule, and this country will never get a balanced budget. So I appreciate the effort. I appreciate it. I'd love to see it. You have all my support. I'm going to back you every way I can. I just know reality, and I would be very, very, very surprised if we got this amendment. Doesn't mean that I'm going to back down from it. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to support it. I just understand reality. And it's sad. It's a freaking shame. It is a friggin' shame that the only thing the government has to do is simply follow the Constitution. And that's it. Very little work that these people have to do. They shouldn't be working as hard as they're working. Because every time they work hard, they screw hard. Screw us hard. I don't want the government working. If the government's going to be working, that means they're screwing. I'm tired of getting screwed. I mean, if you're going to screw me, at least take me out to dinner and give me a kiss goodnight. I mean, come on. Help me out here a little bit. Talk to me. God almighty. Well, I hope it works. I hope this works. I just don't have any faith in our government. I would love to. One day I would love to wake up in the morning and go, God damn it, I have got so much faith in our government, I feel great today. Someday that can happen. It can happen. This is the problem. This is where my frustration comes. I see what can happen, and I see what does happen, and I see what will never happen, and that's where the frustration is. That's why I'm on this show every day. That's why I'm on here. It's not anger. All right, let's find out about this goddamn EPA, this human test subjects. I guess they weren't told about all the legal risks that they were under. Well, of course the government's not going to do that. When was the last time the government told you they told the truth? I don't remember that. The Environmental Protection Agency, which they're not protecting the environment. They're protecting the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party Protection Agency. That's what we're going to call it from now on. The Democratic Party Protection Agency, the DPPA. That is now the EPA, because that's exactly what it is. They're not protecting the environment. If they were really protecting the environment, you think they would force us to buy mercury-laden, baby-killing light bulbs from China? China! Democratic Party Protection Agency has been testing the impact of pollutants on human subjects without always telling them about the risks of heavy exposure. Risks that can include cancer and even death. Well, again, I'd like to know why these people are testing on humans, number one, and why are these people volunteering for this crap? Why would you do that? Would you do that? I know I wouldn't do it. Yeah, go ahead, expose me to radiation. Expose me to harmful chemicals. Go ahead, expose me. Well, they pay them, but what does that mean? Brother, you're dead before you get an opportunity to spend the money. Well, what are they trying to prove here? Well, I don't know. Let's read the goddamn story. Maybe we might be able to find out. I doubt it. The findings were included in a newly released EPA Inspector General report. Oh, my God, enough with these frickin' Inspector Generals. We need civilian auditors in our government. We really do. These Inspector Generals, these are hand-picked by the bureaus. They're not real inspector generals. They're not real people. Well, they're real people, but, I mean, they're not real positions. They should be, but they're not. You know that whatever, whoever's got the most power in the government, that's who these inspector generals work for. And they're going to do what these powers to be tell them to do, tell them to say. So I don't find any of these inspector generals to be legitimate. I didn't find that inspector general with the IRS. I didn't find that guy legitimate. He said a couple of good things, but I didn't find him legitimate. He seemed rather worthless to me. He seemed rather pitiful. I wasn't pleased with that guy at all. I wasn't impressed with him. And I really didn't believe anything that that came out of his mouth. I found him just to be just a waste of time. I really did. So the findings were included in a newly released EPA Inspector General's report, which urged the agency to overhaul its guidelines to make sure test subjects understand all the risks before signing up. Evidence suggests now that at least some human study subjects would like to know if a study involves risks of death, even if the risk is very small. Again, I can't help but wonder, why would you subject yourself to these kind of tests anyway? What do you think you're going to get out of it? A couple of bucks? I mean, this is stupid on every angle. The people who did this dumb test, and the EPA, and the government for allowing it. I mean, it's just one big ball of stupid. The EPA is authorized under federal law to perform human testing as part of its ongoing effort to regulate potentially harmful pollutants. No. The agency has spent millions of dollars on this research. No, I'm sorry, but we don't do testing on human beings like this. I have a problem with that. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I know, whatever. Whatever you want to feel, that's your feeling. But my feeling is I don't like that. I don't think the government should be doing tests like that. Not harmful tests and harmful pollutants. Because some of these pollutants, once they get into your system, they don't get out. And they can't get out. Will they give you cancer? Yeah. Will they do this? Yeah. Will they do that? Yeah. Mercury gets into your body, it never comes out. You can't get mercury out of your body. Once it's in, it's in. We all have a certain amount of mercury in our bodies. But once you get to a certain point, that's it. Turn out the lights. The party's over. I just have a problem with testing on humans. And I still have a big problem with testing on animals, too. Some tests you can do on animals, but some of the tests that they do, they go overboard on that. I kind of got some problems with that. I don't mind doing testing. Yeah, we do need to do certain testing with certain things. And yeah, there are times where you do have to test on human beings. But you've got a pollutant. You know that a pollutant can kill. You know that. You don't look. You turn on a gasoline engine in your garage and you close the door. If you're not smart enough to know that you're not going to survive it, then you deserve to die. I don't feel sorry for you. I really don't. I really, really don't. I don't trust the government doing any kind of testing. The IG report looked at five studies conducted in 2010 and 2011 at a University of North Carolina facility. It determined that overall the agency followed applicable regulations. Yeah, I'm sure they did. When it exposed 81 test subjects to concentrated airborne particles or diesel exhaust emissions. However, the IG's office found that inconsistencies. Really? The government, the EPA, has inconsistencies. Really? I would never expected that. All right, we got anything that's meat in this story? Is anything, we got any kind of meat today at all? I'm just getting grumpy now. I'm just getting grumpy. This is ridiculous. Give me something to talk about here. In response to EPA, that it would enhance the language to include better. But the whole point is what they were doing is they weren't telling these people what the hell they were being exposed to. And they weren't telling them the levels. Now, there's some numbers here. Let's get into this one. I know there's some stuff in here. There's some good stuff in here. Let's see if we can find this. Where is this? Superemployment Agency, how they control the EPA is embracing the... Blah, 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 blah. According to the IG report, the reason the agency gave for not informing subjects about the cancer risks was the risks associated with two-hour exposures would be minimal. One manager said those risks are typically calculated over a lifetime exposure of 40 years. So they gave what somebody would, they gave somebody in a couple of hours what they would normally get in 40 years. Wow. Wow. This stuff up, man. All right, there were some numbers on here of what they did. Oh, they got paid anywhere from $950 to $3,700. But there was something in here, maybe it was another story, but I read something about the amount of what they exposed these people to were hundreds times more. I think it was like over 60 times more of what they normally could handle. I mean, just ridiculous amounts. And what are they doing this for? All to prove that, that fossil fuels are bad and Republicans are bad because Republicans own oil? Is that what we're trying to do? Just make the Republicans look bad? I mean, what is this? We know what these chemicals do. We don't need to have tests. We know that if you suck up a bunch of diesel fumes, well, if you don't die, you're going to get really sick. And then eventually you will die. We don't exactly have to have any more tests with this crap. EPA. Unbelievable, this EPA. You can't ask them a question either, because if you do, you got to be arrested. Now, Gina McCarthy, what a piece of work you are, sweetheart. I'd like to ask you a few questions, too. But you're a coward. You won't answer my questions. You'll throw me in jail. Unfriggin' believable. Absolutely unbelievable today. Nonstop crap. All right. Let's see if we can get in here now to... to this Nancy Pelosi, just absolute stupidity, this woman. How she put that much stupid into one human being, I will never understand. I cannot figure out how this woman can continue. Why nobody is saying, Miss Pelosi, shut up. Why nobody in the Democratic Party is saying, sweetheart, you need to keep your mouth shut because you're embarrassing us all? And why you people in San Francisco, why do you continue to vote for this woman? Why? What's the matter with you? How can you do this? How do you feel good about yourself going into the voting booth, putting Nancy Pelosi's name down and walking out, then go to your little Starbucks and talk to all your little friends of how great and proud and wonderful how you feel that you voted for Nancy Pelosi? How you can do that is mind-boggling to me. People that vote for this woman, I find you as the problem. Nancy Pelosi is a problem, yes. She's a problem on her own, but you people that vote for this crap, you are the problem. You are the reason why we now have to suffer because of your stupidity. And it is stupidity. If you're going to vote for somebody like Nancy Pelosi, you have to be stupid. You cannot possibly convince anybody with half a broken wet noodle for a brain that you have any kind of goddamn intelligence in you when you vote for somebody as stupid as Nancy Pelosi. And you don't believe she's stupid? All right. Let's just go right on ahead. Let's go ahead and let's prove this. Where is this dingbat? Well, it looks like we didn't download it today, didn't upload it today. Oh, this is great, wonderful. Oh, here it is. I did actually have my producer in this morning. He actually did do a job. Oh, my goodness. Donuts and everything. All right, here we are. We got to turn the volume up because I listened to it, and she speaks kind of quietly. You know, she speaks like, you know, this and peace and love. And, oh, we're just so happy, and, oh, Republicans are bad, and we believe in peace and love. Oh, look, a unicorn. Oh. All right. You don't believe me, San Francisco, that your fearless leader, Miss Nancy Pelosi, is an idiot? Listen to this.
There are those who are critics, and there have been bumps in the road, but they've only been turbulence. They have not been an obstacle to the American people having a healthier life.
turbulence?
What our founders wanted for them. Life, a healthier life, liberty, the freedom to pursue their happiness, not job locked, but having benefits that healthcare policies that they can that are portable. They could be self-employed, be a photographer. They could start their own business. They could change jobs.
What?
They could reach their aspirations. And isn't that a wonderful thing for a society and for an economy? Any questions?
Jesus Christ, woman, you are a babbling idiot! What the hell did she say? What the hell was that? No, 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 no. The founding fathers? What the hell was she talking about, the founding fathers? They wanted Obamacare? Let's get back to the Constitution. There it is. I don't see anything. I don't see Obamacare any goddamn where in here. Well, here's what the preamble of the Constitution says. She was talking actually more about the Declaration of Independence, about the pursuit of happiness. Well, you can't pursue the happiness if you're not free. So I don't know how in the hell this woman thinks that we're allowed now to pursue any kind of happiness when we don't have the ability to pursue any happiness. And she's talking about the founding fathers didn't want people to be job locked. I mean, sweetheart, you are brain locked. What the hell's the matter with you? Where do you get this stuff from? How do you do this with a straight face? How do you look people in the eye and actually speak and say this crap? How do you do that? Unless you have to be a babbling idiot, which this woman is, and she babbles. I know I run off at the mouth, and I do. I've run off at the mouth, I mean, all day. I mean, I run off at the mouth in my sleep. But Jesus Christ, I at least make a point once in a while. I'm at least a little coherent. I make sense. This woman doesn't make any sense. It's babbling. It's gibberish. What the hell is it? What language are you speaking, sweetheart? We speak English in America. What are you speaking? Huh? See, I don't speak stupid, so I don't know what the hell this woman was talking about. I mean, my God in heaven, in turbulence? Is she trying to say that people are who are objecting to this tyrannical rule that we're just turbulence? We're not roadblocks? Let me tell you something, sweetheart. This so-called turbulence that you call, well, it's going to get bigger. It's going to get rougher. You understand? American people aren't giving up, and we're growing bigger and bigger every day. And they know it. They know it. That's why they're afraid. Why do you think that president is over in all these fundraisers right now? $3,300 a pop for a tofu salad. And then they got to go to McDonald's afterward because they couldn't fill up with this crap. The meal was awful. There goes my $32,000. There you are. Turbulence, you say, sweetheart. Huh? I mean, what the hell was she talking about? The founding fathers wanted a life, liberty, and a healthy life? I mean, job locked? I mean, I just can't figure out why anybody in the media takes her seriously. If you're really a reporter, think about this for a moment. Just think about this for just a moment. If you were in the media and you had to go talk to these congressmen and this and that and interview them, why would you want to go up to Nancy Pelosi? Why would you want to hear what she has to say? It's garbage. It's filth. It's stupid. Why give her any never mind? I don't know. Why give her any airtime? I don't know. And I just did. So I guess now I'm stupid. This is what happens when you talk about stupid people. You become stupid yourself. That's why we got to get rid of this woman. We got to get rid of a lot of people. But there's only one way to do it, and that's us. We are the only ones that can do this. We're the ones who created this monster. And we're the only ones who can kill it. And we can kill it with one vote. Your vote. All right. Now, let's get into this story here. It's a little long, but that's all right. This is a letter written by the Matt Walsh blog. I don't know who this guy is. I have no idea who he is, what his blog is all about. I don't know what he does. I don't know anything about him. A friend of mine sent this to me yesterday. This over your put this on your show tomorrow. He found this and he said, you got to put this on your show and read the show. I'll read this for your show. So I did, and I am. And here it is. This is Matt Walsh. I don't know who he is. I don't even know where he's from. But this is a letter that he wrote in response to the president. When he was standing out there outside with all of his little O-bots who were just fawning, Obama, Obama, Obama. The Affordable Care Act. He's out there spiking the football, lying about all the numbers that he has, and you know damn good and well, there is no 7 million people that have health insurance. And if, even if there are 7 million people who signed up for this health insurance, that 7 million is not coming from the 50 million that didn't have health insurance. That's coming from the people that already had it. You know it. I know it. They know it. We just can't seem to get a media to hold their feet to the fire. We've got a few people, but we need more than just a few. We need all of us. Aren't you tired of being lied to? Every goddamn day, every time you turn on that stupid television, every time that stupid president opens up his stupid mouth, there's nothing but stupid lies coming out of it. Politician anymore. Even the ones I like, every time they open their mouth, there's nothing but stupid lies coming out of it. And you call me angry. This ain't angry. So the title of the letter, Mr. Obama, maybe folks are mad because you are a liar. Well, yeah. You could say that. Mad? I don't know if that's the right word. I think it's a little more than that. I think we're fed up. I think that's what it's about. I think it's more frustration, more fed up. I see it. You see it. Most of America actually sees it. We see how it should be. And we see how it can be. But we also see how it isn't. And that's where the frustration comes. So let's go ahead and let's read this letter. This is from Matt Walsh on his blog. It says, Dear Mr. Obama, if that's your real name, congratulations on getting 7.1 million people enrolled in Obamacare before March 31st deadline. Well, you knew that was going to happen. I mean, come on. They had the number before they even started. Not to muddy the festivities by harping on your technicalities, but I thought I'd pass along just a few corrections in case you plan on giving any more speeches or anything. This guy actually hits it right on the head. I didn't get a chance to read the entire thing, but this guy does hit some high notes. All right, by March 31st. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah, I got it right. By March 31st, I thought I lost my place. It happens. What are you going to do? Moving on. By March 31st, you mean sometime in April. And by deadline, you mean suggestion, which is subject to change. And obviously, by enrolled, you mean people who have filled out some information on a website. Exactly. You cannot argue with that. That's fact. That's truth. But you'll never get a liberal to argue it. They believe that number. It's 7.1, and they got insurance. Obamacare. Obamacare. It's affordable. And by 7.1 million, he continues, you mean probably like 858,000 or something. Well, I'd be very surprised if there were really 858,000 that actually paid to their insurance company. The insurance company cashed a check sent them a card, and they can actually go to the doctor now and get their Obamacare without no problems. I don't think that number's anywhere near 858. People who get it for free is one thing, but people who have to actually pay for it is something completely different. Not to mention that website is still yet to be secure. Imagine that. You're forced to go into a website that hackers, it's a hacker's dream, man. They're waiting for all these people that have to go on this website. They're just waiting for the big dogs to come in just so they can take their money. Well, you go on that website, hey, you got no one to blame by you got no one to blame but yourself. Why they ripped you off? You voted for this crap not once but twice. You were warned what this was going to do to you. You people were warned. You were warned about this man. You were warned about this man in 2007. You were warned about this man in 2008, 2009, 2010, and you're continued being warned about this man every single day. Still have yet to open your eyes and see. And then when it happens to you, then you want to bitch. Now you want to complain. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear one damn thing from you liberals. Not one freaking word. I'm sick and tired of hearing you. Pay attention to people. When they warn you of danger afoot, take heed. Even if you don't believe them, you know what you do? You double check it to make sure. Are they lying to me or not? You don't just discard when somebody tells you that there is danger afoot. Take it serious. And if you don't want to take it serious, at least take another opportunity to verify whether it's true or not. And if you don't do that, well, then you deserve anything that happens to you. And every one of you liberals that are bitching, pissing, and moaning now about this Obamacare, you deserve it. I don't feel sorry for you. Are you awake now? Maybe now you might start paying attention, huh? Lesson learned. He goes on to say, in your speech on Tuesday, when you said that Obamacare is the law and it's here to stay, you really meant that Obamacare is a fluid and constantly adjusted set of unconstitutional decrees which can be imposed or withdrawn by executive branch at any point for any reason up to 21 times and counting, which I think the number is actually 37. Doesn't really matter. The point is, this kid's right. He's right on the money, right on the money. So far, this kid has yet to say one untrue word. There is not one untrue thing in here except for this 21 times. I think it's a lot more than that. But does it really matter? You're going to be splitting hairs over 21 times at 37? The point is, the guy is taking an executive order to change the law, not by going through Congress, but by just a stroke of the pen, which the president is not allowed to do. No one is allowed to change the law except for Congress, period. You claimed, he goes on, that more than 3 million young adults have gained insurance by staying on their parents' plan. That were true, which we all know that it's not. Even if that were true, it seems to take for granted that there's anything remotely positive about the government forcing insurance companies to treat 25-year-old men and women like children. But more importantly, it isn't. Well, you're right. I mean, look, you're 17 years old, you can join the military and go off to war and kill people and have them kill you. But you can't even vote at 17, but you can go to war. You can't even drink, but you can go to war. And you're 25. You can't get your own insurance. You got to go on with your parents. I mean, when is an adult an adult? When are we gonna determine when an adult is an adult? Well, in reality, an adult is in the head. It's not in the ears. The adult is in the head. It's in the head, and it's in the heart. Years are irrelevant. Moving on. Indeed, when you said more than 3 million, you really meant extrapolations based on faulty estimates conjured up by Health and Human Services almost 2 years ago have brought us to dubious conclusion that we can claim 3 million because nobody will understand how we arrived at that figure and most everyone will be too lazy to even attempt to check out your numbers. Good God Almighty! I swear to God, I have said this exact same stuff myself. I don't know how many times. We've heard it on television. We've heard it on the radio. We've heard you say it. You've heard me say it. We've all said it. But now it is. Now here it is in print. So now it's real. Good for you. This guy's right on the money. Right on the damn money. And he's right. He's right. These numbers are bogus. How did you get these numbers? Huh? Well, they're not going to tell you. Why? How? How? Why would you hold back how you got these numbers? Why would you do that unless they weren't real, perhaps? But why would you want to hold those numbers back? Why would you want to hold how you arrived at those figures? How would you? Why would you want to do that unless those figures aren't true? Obviously, they're not true. Because if they were true, we'd see where these numbers were coming from. We would have a breakdown. We've got X amount of people that are on Medicaid. We've got X amount of people that are from 18 to 26. We've got X amount of people that are from 27 on to 50. We got people that are from 55 on to whatever. We got these many people paying from here. We got this many people getting subsidies. We got this many people doing this. Do we have those numbers? Hell no, we don't have the numbers. Why? Because they're not real. If they showed the breakdown of these numbers, they would have to prove that they're real, and they don't have the proof to prove that they're real. So they're not real. So who's really believing this? And why would these people go into the White House there, standing out there, I guess it was a Rose Garden, wherever it was, who cares where it was? And why would they clap and cheer and then laugh about there's no death panels? Really? We already know there's a death panel. Justine Peltier. Go ask her family if there's death panels. Yes, Mr. President, there are death panels in your Obamacare. And no, it is not affordable. I'm not going to call it Affordable Care Act. One, it's not affordable. Two, there's no care. And it's not an act, it's a bill. It was not passed legitimately. He goes on to say, you appeared to venture into your vicinity of truth when you stated that Obamacare is doing what it is supposed to do, but then you forget to stipulate what precisely that happens to be. Exactly. It is not, nor was it meant to be, or meant to, make insurance cheaper or more accessible. That's right. It wasn't designed to make it cheaper. It was designed to make it more expensive. It's designed to lower the quality of life. Because we've got too many people on planet Earth. And only the ones, people that we like, are going to be allowed to stay. We're going to keep enough peasants over there so they can do our work and keep voting for us. And then us over here, we get to live high on the hog. That's what this is all about. You don't believe me? Go check out Agenda 21. I'm not BSing with this stuff. This Agenda 21 stuff is real. This ain't phony. That's exactly what it is. There's too many human beings on planet Earth, so we've got to get rid of them. Well, we can't just line them up and shoot them. So we lower their quality of life. And one way, the best way to lower somebody's quality of life? Health care. That's right. They'll do it as a ruse. Oh, everybody's going to get health care. Well, nobody is going to get health care, except for the powers to be and their little friends, and that's it. Moving on, hopefully I can get through this. There's more to go here. We got, what, 10 minutes? We're going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. It is for single men and elderly couples and nuns to pay for the maternity care and birth control. Likewise, it has compelled everyone to purchase coverage for psychiatric illness and drug addiction treatment, even if it weren't necessarily psychiatrically ill or addicted to drugs. So, in other words, what he's saying is you have to pay for people, crazy people and drugged out people, because you're not. You have to pay for abortion care. When you're a man, what do you need abortion care for? You going to have an abortion? You going to pull a baby out of your penis? Drug addiction and psychiatric illness, yeah, those, you know, that the people do need to be treated with this crap. This stuff is real. And look, drugs can get to anybody. You don't have to be a certain person. You don't have to be living in no goddamn ghetto to be on drugs. Trust me. Trust me. Drugs can get anybody. Cancer can get anybody. As far as I'm concerned, these heavy drugs, they are a cancer. And once they get you, all the chemotherapy in the world ain't going to get rid of it. The only thing that can get rid of it is in your head. Like me trying to quit tobacco. I do know it's all in my mind, but I'm not ready to quit yet. No matter how much I can't breathe. I'm still not ready to quit. Is that stupid? Yeah, it is stupid, and I do admit I'm stupid. It's my fault. I got no one to blame but myself for not quitting this goddamn tobacco. Stop digressing. Let's move on with this letter. It's a good letter. Though with your help, the pharmaceutical industry will soon get us all under one or both of those umbrellas. Well, it's more than soon. It's now. And while you spike the football in the Rose Garden, you still fail to indicate how many people have purchased and paid for a plan as opposed to just checking some boxes. That's, of course. We can't tell the truth, and people are going to think that it's a failure. We've got to promote this as a success. That's why we have Valerie Goebbels down there in Hollywood trying to get Hollywood to promote this crap. And that repugnant, absolutely hideous Rachel Ray, shut up. First of all, your ideas suck. They're not very good. I'm sorry. I've watched your show. I do my own cooking, and I do much better stuff than you. Your stuff sucks, and you suck. I'm going to be picking on Rachel Ray now. What the hell's the matter with me? I shouldn't be doing that to her. What the hell's the matter with me? I'm a jerk. I apologize. Even though I was right, I still apologize. I shouldn't be a jerk like that to you, Rachel Ray. But please shut up and stop crying. Stop promoting people. Stop promoting what you don't even understand. And then weep. You're pathetic. And while you spike the football in the Rose Garden, you still fail to indicate how many people have purchased and paid for a plan as opposed to just checking some boxes. And you forgot to tell us how many of Obamacare enrollees were only inclined to enroll in Obamacare because you're flawed. My word, I just added that in there. Your law forced them off of their original plans. Well, the overwhelming vast majority of them are in Obamacare because they had great health care that they loved, not because it didn't have abortion care in it. Well, that's a bad plan. That's a wrong plan. That's a racist plan. It's racist not to have abortion care. Again, I don't care if you believe in abortion or not. Believe in it. I don't give a damn. But if you're going to have your vagina scraped out and have your baby pulled out, piece by piece and thrown in a trash can, and if it's still breathing, have a large pair of scissors jammed to the back of its neck, you're going to have to pay for that on your own. No insurance company should offer something like that. That's ridiculous. That's just my opinion. Anyway, move on. Could we please? You celebrated a law that will supposedly insure the uninsurable, even though most of the people now insured by Obamacare aren't actually yet insured. But they were insured before Obamacare made them uninsured under their original insurance. Well, that was a mouthful. Of course, this is all after you famously told us we can keep our plans if we like them, while admitting out that by keep, you meant watch as it is demolished in front of your eyes. And when you said like, you didn't include the disclaimer that we'd all be legally obligated to adjust our affections in the direction of the type of plan you think we should like. Meaning, if Obama likes your plan, you can keep it. If Obama likes your doctor, you can keep your doctor. That's what it means. If the government likes it, you can keep it. If the government doesn't like it, you can't have it. It's wrong. And it's racist. And now we're going to tax you. We're going to fine you. We're going to throw you in jail. Woo, he writes. My head is spinning. So is mine, kid. You're a slippery one, Mr. Obama. I feel like I'm beginning to learn your language, although I haven't deciphered the entire code. I do know that, essentially, when you say a certain thing, what you really mean is anything but the thing that you just said. Well, we've said that how many times? We all know that. This kid has yet to say one thing that isn't true. Not one. Not one word. This is a beautiful letter. I love this letter because it just simply says it exactly how it is. It doesn't add anything. It doesn't go off on tangents. It doesn't put any. It doesn't use any bad names. It doesn't use any. It doesn't cuss like I do. It doesn't digress like I do. It gets right to the friggin' point, man. Honestly, I'm starting to think that you're doing this on purpose. I'm starting to think that you are lying. You are a liar. Yes, that explains it. You're either enormously inaccurate and obviously in ways that are oblivious in ways that just so happen to suit your political goals, or you're scheming, conniving liar. Yes, you are a scheming, conniving liar. You're a skeevy, conniving liar. I'm going with the latter. He goes on to say, you lie. That's all you do. You're a liar. This kid is, I mean, he's just not afraid, man. I love this letter. I know in this day and age of civil discourse, we aren't allowed to use words like liar anymore. It's such a harsh and startling term. Well, it's also true. It upsets people. It makes them sad. It makes them feel all icky inside. But Lord, forgive me. I'd rather call a spade and a liar as opposed to your strategy, which is to call a spade a tortoise and an apple or a three-toed sloth or anything but a spade. I would label you pathological, as deception seems to drip like putrid sewage from every single word and phrase that escapes your lips. But I know your lies are calculated, not compulsive. Oh, man, this kid is right on the goddamn money. This guy needs a Pulitzer. You can't be a pathological... Oh, here we go. There goes my broken left-handed tongue, right on cue. You can't be a pathological liar for the same reason that an effective diamond thief can't be a kleptomaniac. Your lie, or you lie, like his heist, requires careful planning and plotting. Exactly. Your lies, Mr. Obama, do require careful planning and plotting. You've got Valerie Goebbels up there, though. She's a great liar. She's the liar in chief. You're just the teleprompter reader in chief. You're very aware of the truth, which is what makes you so adept at avoiding it. And we've only got 1 minute, and I'm never going to finish this letter. Damn it! Well, you know what? We're going to finish off. We're going to stop right here because we've only got 90 seconds, and I appreciate everybody that was listening today, and you had to put up with me. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to finish this letter tomorrow because it is good, and we must hear it. So that's it for today. I want to thank everybody in the chat room. I want to thank everybody who downloaded it on archive, all the listeners on your smartphones, and anybody and everybody who pays attention to this program. Thank you very much, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Vote at 10.